This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. Largest selection and best prices with locations at Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Bye, buddy. Have a great life.
And then I'll say good evening to Don.
Do you make it rain?
There's a song to be made. Here, I'll just play this. I'm going to play this dry so a producer listening to this can take this and turn it into a song.
Do you make it rain? Did you do ecstasy? Do you make it rain? Did you do ecstasy?
So Don, that's a single.
I can almost feel the music behind it.
It's about you. It's about you questioning someone about something.
We have the same one.
Very excited.
Come on.
All right, guys. So we've done a lot today. And one thing we have not talked about a lot since the beginning of the show was just the unbelievable job that was done by TNT last night. I'm going to play you some moments because obviously, they canceled the game, Lakers-Clippers, last night. And instead, after the Celtics game and around it, they did pregame, they did halftime, and they did postgame all from the Staples Center with Ernie, Kenny Smith, Shaq, Charles, and D-Wade, who's now joining the Turner situation. And they had guests throughout the night. And obviously, Shaq being there on set, you could tell, was very challenging. There was a period when Shaq was on set for an hour and didn't talk. But there were times when he did talk, and here is Shaquille O'Neal on TNT last night.
We up here, we work a lot. And I think a lot of times we take stuff for granted. Like, I don't talk to you guys as much as I need you to. The fact that we're not going to be able to joke at his Hall of Fame ceremony. We're not going to be able to say, hi, I got 5, you got 4. The fact that we're not going to be able to say, if we would stay together, we could have got 10. Those are the things that you can't get back. And with the loss of my father, my sister, and my thing, that's the only thing I wish I could just say something to him again. Last time I talked to him was when we were here, and I asked him to get 50, and he got 60. It's a lot of time I spoke to him, and I just wish I could have, you know. So it definitely changes me. I have to, because I work a lot. You guys know what I do. I work probably more than the average guy, but I just really have to now just take time and just call and say, I love you. Rick Fox finally called me. He said, man, I love you. B. Shaw called me. So I'm going to try to do a better job of just reaching out and just talking to the people rather than always procrastinating, because you never know.
It does make you think, when a tragedy like this happens, you realize that there are things that are unsaid that you want to say. And maybe this spurs people on to tell people what they feel. I mean, there's not a phone call that goes by when I talk to my sister or my nieces or my nephew or my wife and the kids that I don't end the phone call with, I love you. Because if that's the last time they're going to hear my voice, that's what I want them to know. So I think a lot of people, maybe this is a wake-up call for them. I've always felt that way. You never know the last time you're going to see somebody. And I think a lot of these guys that maybe, you know, we all work a lot. Maybe we work too much. And we leave a lot of emotion unsaid and think that people just understand. This is an opportunity to have them understand.
One thing I want to say, and I want to play some more audio, because TNT last night, we're all fans of their work, but they really, the tone they set, you know, sitting sort of in the dark Staples Center and with those particular voices. I mean, there's no studio show comparable in terms of it really being the pulse of the culture of a sport. You know, like, we do a wonderful job at ESPN and ABC, but when you hear from EJ, Kenny, and Charles, and Shaq, you feel like you're getting kind of the basketball family that covered Kobe's entire career, speaking. So it was a really nice job by them. But one thing I've heard from a lot of people is that I've heard from multiple people, I am not normally moved by the death of celebrities. And this situation, whether it's the Gigi component, whether it's the crash, whether it's Kobe's age, whether it's the fact that Kobe had been in the news so recently, or whether it was his iconic stature, has affected people way more than other celebrity deaths they've encountered. My friend Allison today from home called me and we hadn't talked yet. And she's like, I've never consumed anything like this. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't get this out of my head.
I think it's the children.
And I think that is probably a really unique part of this but whatever those factors are, I just want to say to our listeners who are kind of dealing with that, you're not alone. I talked to my cousin yesterday who's been through his share of stuff and I'm not happy to say that over the last decade, I've lost a lot of people who were entirely too young, 40 and younger, many times. Gotten way too used to the point that when I come up with the list, I cannot remember all the people I've loved who've left. This has resonated like the death of someone you know. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And it's been astounding. And watching last night on TNT, the broadcast, there was just so much of that. Here's Jerry West, who joined them on the floor at the Staples Center. Of course, he's the GM who traded for Kobe and their relationship maintained forever. Here's Jerry West talking about Kobe.
I remember when he was going to leave the Lakers, and I've never really mentioned this to anyone. He was going to come and sign with the Clippers, who I'm now involved with as a consultant. And I told him, Kobe, under no circumstances can you do this. And he was mad at everyone at the Lakers, the owner, everyone else. I said, Kobe, you can't go play with the Clippers. You can't play for that owner, period. We had two conversations about it. And he supposedly made a commitment to the Clippers after the last one we talked last time. But there's so many things that we talked about as he was just seeking information. He and his parents were with him for a while. And honestly, I felt like his father for 2 years. I don't know if I can get over this. I really don't.
It's just remarkable. I mean, there's no other time in sports that we've seen this. And then it continues to get remarkable. So first of all, Jerry West tells that story, which is not only touching but interesting, because I don't know how many people knew how serious Kobe was about going to the Clippers. And he talks about how the relationship maintained even when West was gone in Memphis, that he continued to advise Kobe, regardless of the fact that he was no longer with the Lakers, just because that's what their relationship was. But then you have to factor in that Rick Fox was on set last night, sitting with his friends, Kenny Smith, who, when Rick was at North Carolina, was befriended by, at that point, graduate and NBA player Kenny Smith. And Fox, of course, played with Derek Fisher, who's sitting next to him, and Shaq, who's sitting next to him. And all these guys thought on Sunday that Rick Fox had died also. For an hour, they all believed that he had passed. So Rick Fox then tells the story on TNT of people believing that he was also in the crash with Kobe.
I was talking to my kids, just trying to spend the time with them, and then the phone just started going off. And I'm thinking to myself, everybody wants to talk about Kobe. And I right now want to be with my kids and my family. And then all of a sudden, my best friend, King Rice, who's a basketball coach, you know King, Kenny.
North Carolina. I'll tell you the story between King and Kenny.
Okay, he walked off the court at Iona, and somebody apparently told him that I may have been on the helicopter, and he started calling. So I'm seeing King's number, you know, repeatedly going and going and going, and I think he's worried about me. So I said, I'm going to talk to my best friend, and I answered, and I said, hey, man, this is crazy about Kobe, and he just was bawling. And I started crying, and he was like, you're alive.
And I'm thinking, well, yeah, like, what do you mean? And it was in that moment that my phone just started going, and my mom and my sister and my brother. And so, look, this has been a lot to process for all of us. Quite frankly, we're blessed to have had the time we had with Kobe. A city is mourning, a family's mourning, we're all mourning, and I'm glad that's over with, but it was hard to deal with because it shook a lot of people in my life.
Kenny Smith then reflected on finding out the news that Rick Fox was in fact okay.
And so I just text Rick. I said, just say hey. And he texts back, hey, with a broken heart in my heart. And I just screamed.
It's
the race to be first.
Yeah, that's irresponsible.
You tell the story.
Yeah.
You don't know what it does.
Irresponsible.
And that was an important message there about that race to be first and what TMZ did this past weekend.
It's amazing to me what we've become. And we here at ESPN are just as guilty. And you could see it with a mundane thing like baseball signings. They're so fast. And then they have to go confirmed a report. Do you know that on Twitter? It said Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash. Adrian Wojnarowski confirms a TMZ report. Stop. Stop with the credit. Stop it. It's ridiculous. This is a different age. This is not like the age where you have to wait for a newspaper to come out and you had to credit the newspaper. Everybody's on Twitter. If you're first with it, there's somebody 2 seconds later that has the same story. Stop it. Do you know that there were reports when this first broke that all four of his daughters were on that helicopter?
I remember. We discussed this in our chat.
Rick Fox was on the helicopter. I mean, stop. Why are we in such a hurry? Why are we in such a hurry? It doesn't mean anything. It is all crap. We've got to stop. ESPN should make a thing. Listen, no more of this credit, first, whatever. It's silly. It makes everybody look dumb.
But
it's the dumbing down of an entire industry.
But it's one thing about trying to have a trade first or a signing first or a firing first. But there's some ethics involved when we're talking about a death. What TMZ did, I think, is just so ridiculously bad. Did they violate any rules? Technically, no. But the idea is do not report a death until the family has found out about it first. And I'm sorry, I guess they did a good job in getting the information first, but they did a god-awful job in not doing it the right way. So they win the whole we got it first, but for the fact that Vanessa found out through TMZ rather than finding out from a police officer or somebody on the scene is completely irresponsible by TMZ.
And now Harvey Levin has claimed that there was supposedly contact with the Bryant family. Sorry, sorry, Harvey. Not giving you a lot of credibility here.
But one thing, TMZ got it right. All right. So what they did, you could look. If the Bryant family was not notified, it's ghoulish. But the people that put people on that helicopter that weren't there just to be breaking news.
Yeah, that means they were reaching. That means.
Oh my goodness!
Because you can figure out how TMZ would have gotten the information. They send someone to the crash site. People are like, that's Kobe Bryant's helicopter. And then someone's like, yes, Kobe Bryant was on board. They have the information. They see the helicopter. You can move with it. Anyone else beyond that, though, you're going to be guessing.
ABC
News.
Until
you get the manifest.
ABC News, that's our company, had a terrible blunder, too, where they reported something that wasn't true. I'm sorry. You should be embarrassed by that stuff. And we all in this business should be embarrassed by the rush to be first. It looks so silly. This guy settled an arbitration case for $7.8 million, confirming a report by John Heyman. Who cares? Are we keeping score like that? Just get the information right. Who cares? On Twitter, it's not like the old days when I worked in newspapers where I could say, the Post has learned. And you know what? For 12 hours, the Post was the only one that had that story. Twitter makes that all irrelevant. You all look silly and dumb.
Woj can drop something. And some dude who lives in Des Moines who has a page, he can just follow closely, instantly retweet, and be the one who gets credit for it and take the information. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Everybody knows that Woj breaks it first.
Right. Everyone. Now, listen. if Woj, for example, we're not trying to pick on Woj, but Woj, for example, is so credible that TMZ breaks the story. Once Woj writes, "I can't believe the news, Kobe Bryant has passed away," there are a lot of people who will go, "Oh my God, I now believe it. Adrian Wojnarowski has said it's true."
Right.
But you don't need to.
Also, because it's on Twitter, there's a timestamp. So we know who got it first. But,
yeah, it's.
And you know what? If I could get an audience with the head of ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, I would tell him we have to stop giving credit like this. It makes the industry look ridiculous.
I do think it's an absolute joke. You know, first reported by Fox, but confirmed by. Come on, just stop it. All right. We live in the world of information. Nobody out there is keeping score. We want to find out the information.
You know,
we want to make sure it's right.
We all are. People don't care.
No, but the outside people, they find out from where they find out. But there is a credibility that comes from certain companies where, like, I see TMZ, and even though they get a lot right, when they were the only one reporting it, I didn't believe it.
That's true.
But if it had been ESPN, I would have believed it.
Well, and to ESPN's credit, though, and I know things were wrong that day, ESPN waited and waited and waited before they reported it.
At the point where you could say, well, what's going on here? Because they wanted to get it right. And the other part is, even if you confirm that it's Kobe Bryant and his daughter, it's still the right thing to do is for to get all of the information about the other people that are on that helicopter, because the families know that, hey, my father or my daughter is on the flight with Kobe. We just heard that crashed. I haven't heard from anybody that my daughter or my husband is dead. I mean, listen, I know we all want to be the big winners here, but the point is that these are lives. This is not trades. This isn't stupid little trivial stuff here. Yeah, getting it right is way more important than getting it first, especially now. So if TMZ feels like they can get a pat on the back that they got it right, but to me, they got it all wrong because they didn't wait it out so that the family could find out what exactly happened.
Harvey Levin, he said that they contacted them?
That's what he's saying. He is claiming that contact was made.
Well, all right. I mean,
right now that appears to be in dispute.
So but I thought I heard you say that Vanessa said that she heard.
No, I'm not saying Vanessa said that. It's been said that that's how Vanessa found out.
See, this is the stuff that kind of just falls apart. But listen, TMZ is certainly credible, right? Now, we may not like the way they go about things.
Here's the New York Post story. Sorry, Don. TMZ head Harvey Levin claims Kobe's people, quote, gave approval to publish the story. Harvey Levin said Tuesday the outlet had the okay from, quote, Kobe's people to break news of the helicopter crash. Now, let's just stop here. Hard to believe that anyone who was really legitimately Kobe's people in that time would have approved that message going out. He said, we dealt with Kobe's people, and we were told very clearly that she had been notified. We were dealing with them for an hour before we published the story, and they said, go for it. Also, language, it's hard for me.
And meanwhile, ESPN, Fox, CNN, none of them can get that information until, 45 minutes later? Or did they kind of jump it, and now it's convenient? Oh, yeah, we got it cleared. By who? By the family?
You know, Levin said he initially got the tip from a longtime law enforcement source and then called reps for Kobe Bryant.
There's something else, though, in that story that has to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When it says, when asked about the families of the other victims being notified, Levin said, that's a fair point. So he basically, the focus was Kobe and no one else. There were still other families that may not have known, and he disregarded that.
Now, in fairness, he didn't know who those other people, the other seven people were. Now, their families probably knew. The families probably knew that they were on the helicopter, so I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
If you're on a helicopter that day with Kobe Bryant, that's a big deal. I'm sure all of those families, I'm sure, knew. And once they saw that he was down, then now they know. That's how they're finding it.
As good as TMZ is, I'm sure whatever context they had with Bryant's people, anybody at ESPN or any other outlet could have had the same contact. And yet they all waited, 45 minutes to an hour later, right? TMZ reported it somewhere like closer to 2. We didn't find out about it till almost after 3, if I got the timeline correct. So you're telling me that ESPN struggled to get Kobe's people to admit something? Or did they get it cold from Kobe's people but said, we have to wait because there were other people on that helicopter and we need something more than just somebody that might work with his foundation or somebody that might work for his agency?
Back to last night on TNT. Derek Fisher and D. Wade told stories about Kobe playing the Heat.
I remember a game in Miami. We lost. And after the game, he was so pissed that when he would shoot on the contest, D. Wade was hitting him on the...
I tap him a little bit.
On the wrist. Or
just
on the
a little
forearm.
Bit.
After the game that night, till 2, 3 in the morning, grabs one of our developmental coaches back out on the court in the arena and is telling him to hit him on the arm on purpose while he's shooting.
On our court.
In Miami.
In Miami, I remember.
Because he wanted to try to figure out, okay, well, if the dude gonna hit me on the arm while I'm shooting, I'm gonna practice shooting while somebody's hitting me on the arm, because I'm not gonna let that beat me the next time we play against Miami.
So we seen that, right? Me and Brian dressed, we got done doing our media, they say, come and look at this. Kobe's outside on our arena working out. So me and Brian take our clothes off, put on workout gear, and we go upstairs and start hooping.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, wait, he can't outwork us in our own arena.
Yeah.
But we didn't stay as long as Kobe. We had to get out of there.
Wow.
A lot of stories like that going around. Allen Iverson told a story about the first time he played against Kobe in L.A. Kobe took him out to dinner after their game. Kobe took him out to dinner, and Iverson, of course, was going to a club. And he asked Kobe, what are you doing tonight? You want to come to the club? And he said, no, I'm going to practice. This is at night after dinner after a game.
You know, sometimes greatness is a choice. I think a lot of people, not a lot, but there are a select few that are born with physical skills and gifts, and some make the most of it. He probably squeezed every last ounce of his God-given ability and made himself great.
And
some
he said,
don't.
And he said that's what he wanted to be remembered as. He didn't want to be remembered for being talented. He wanted to be remembered for working hard.
Because you're born with talent.
Yeah. Him and I are the exact opposite.
You're not born with any talent.
No. I'm okay being remembered for being talented. They'll be like, did he work hard? Yeah, he was okay. But man, he was really entertaining. Kobe's the exact opposite. He knew he was born with talent.
Right.
But he wanted the memory to be, that was a guy who never stopped working. And that is the reputation he's left behind. Sixers did a tribute playing the Warriors to Kobe. Here's Steve Kerr. After the tribute to Kobe Bryant.
You want to do it in a respectful way, in a professional way, but you still have a basketball game to play. And so it's a very tricky thing to put together. I thought the Sixers handled it beautifully. It was really well done. And then when the game started, it was surreal. It was, you know, there was, as you said, no hype video, no starting lineups. Well, teams take the violation to start the game. It's quiet in the arena. Everybody's sort of in shock. And then, once both teams got going, then it felt like a regular game again. But it took a little while.
Now, one thing that happened in basketball yesterday that's unrelated to Kobe. Well, I guess I'm sorry, Mike.
One thing about this: the Nets are playing tonight.
Detroit at the Nets,
right.
On ESPN.
And on
yes, of course.
Kyrie's going to play. And to honor Kobe and Gianna, the seats that they sat in when they came to the Net game this season will be empty in their honor.
Well, that's nice. That's a 7:30 tip.
Yep.
Pregame here at 7. I'm very interested to watch what they do, though, pregame. Because that was interesting. I didn't realize that teams – because when I've watched a couple of random games and saw full lineup introductions. It's interesting they said the Sixers went with – just a quiet, no intro. So I was going to say the next story and final story for ENN is not related to Kobe, but I guess on some level it is. And that is the somewhat entertaining meltdown that Coach K had yesterday, screaming at Cameron Crazies because the Cameron Crazies were doing what they do and attacking the opposing head coach. However, the opposing head coach in this case was former Dukie and understudy of Coach K, Jeff Capel. And Coach K, if you have not seen the video they're showing on YES, lost his mind as if he was screaming at an official. Like, we've seen this Coach K before. We've all seen this Coach K. Normally, it's addressed at one of his players or an official. He was yelling at the student section. Here's what it sounded like, the play-by-play last night on television.
Before the end of the half, though, an interesting moment, an unusual eruption of anger from Mike Krzyzewski. You see the Cameron Crazies chanting at the pit bench, and then Coach K yelling, shut up, shut up. And he walked across the court as time expired on the first half to tell them they were chanting toward Jeff Capel, he's one of us. He's one of us. Now, from what we can discern from tweets from beat writers sitting down a long press row, they were saying, Jeff Capel, sit with us.
Now, here's the thing that's confusing. If they were screaming, Jeff Capel, sit with us, some sort of chant related to that, it doesn't seem that mean-spirited. It seems like they're trying to say, and I am no one to defend a Dookie, believe me.
Except for Zion.
Except for Zion. He doesn't count. But it sounds like Coach K might have just been in a really bad way yesterday and lost it. Here's Coach K after the game on not being happy with the Cameron Crazies.
Let's think of a different cheer. Let's put it like defense. Yeah, let's go. Come on, Duke. You know. Let's go, Duke. Come on. You know. You leave the other guy alone.
Oh, come on. I mean, I'm a big Mike Krzyzewski
fan.
He's
losing it.
Over the last 30 years, they've been, some could say clever, some might say offensive. They have constantly ridden the opposition so that they make nice to Jeff Capel. I mean, the stuff that the Cameron Crazies have chanted out, and sure. Now Mike said, defense, let's go Duke. This is the first time you said it. You know what they said to what they've said to players over the years? Some offensive stuff.
Your shorts are super short, so we can see your butt. This is why you suck.
They're the worst. They're simply the worst. That's why you should do what we did at Maryland games and throw bottles at the opposing players' families. You're not no nerdy sheets with chants on it, and you wouldn't have this problem. There's only one way to close ENN today, and that would be with a hit new song, I'm told.
Yeah, I'm in it too.
Do you make it rain? 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 Do you make it rain?
All right, that'll do it. That'll do it for ENN on this. That's RJ. That's RJ right there. On this Wednesday evening.
Yeah, but it's the brilliance of Don that motivates RJ.
True. Don did that by himself.
And also, it was a very clean edit because when I said it, no one reacted.
Because you said it while Trey was talking.
Yeah.
It was kind of over.
That's not with the cut. Do you hear Trey talking?
Yeah.
Do you make it rain? Do you make it rain? Yeah, I guess you're right.
RJ has new technology that he could get rid of Trey, which is a lot of people would hope that we'd run that constantly on Wednesday.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Oh. All right, we'll take a brief timeout. We'll take some phone calls. A lot of stuff to you to chew on. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.